Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that. Let's get right back into the episode.
So then they go back to the villa and Angie is like, be ready in an hour. Dress chic. We're going to a play.
So at the Tomato Center.
We're going to a play at the Tomato Museum.
Angie is like, she's saying that there's a lot of issues in the group, and she's hoping that by seeing how an outsider perceives them, it'll be an eye-opener. I'm like, well, an outsider, but basically you fed her lines, and then she's just going to regurgitate the lines, because let me tell you something, there's no plot in this play we're about to see. She's just spitting out the things that you guys say. So Heather's like, Well, I think Bronwyn's stories are like 1 foot in the bullshit bin and 1 foot on a banana, 1 foot on a banana peel. That's a callback. But clearly this exchange occurred at 2:30 a.m., which makes me think Meredith is a sneaky, sneaky friend. Did anyone else on this show ever have something that happened after 2:30 in the morning when the cameras went off?
So it's sneaky because the conversation happened in the middle of the night. Okay. Because you had the same conversation, but it was in the daytime. So it was okay, I guess.
Oh,
asking about lunch.
I was just saying, she's just upset that no one emerged with a black eye from it. That's all.
So yeah. No one had a black eye to blame production on. So must be sneaky.
So Whitney is like, wow, heading into the play tonight, knowing everything that I've said to Stella and imagining what everyone else has said to Stella. Are we ready to deal with it?
I can guarantee you Stella ignored your ass just like everybody else does with me. So Lisa's like, you know what? I know who I am. They can think whatever, which is why I will always love Lisa Barlow. Cause she's like, whatever. I look hot.
Yeah. Well, she says that until she gets massively affected. So Angie's like, so they go, they get in the Sprinter van, they go to the Tomato Museum, and Mary's like, it's like a haunted house. So they wind up like in this outdoor area, which is semi-public, but because definitely in the middle of the scene while they were crying, there were definitely people walking around in the background. So there's like a little buffet that's set up. Brittany's like, well, I'm a lush, so I'll just go straight for the wine, right? Alky Lush, you guys want to fight about me again? That was fun.
Mary's like, does anyone feel suspicious?
Suspicious. And she goes,
it's like a creepy cobblestone yard. She's like, what?
Knives out.
So she's like, I don't like any of this. We're dressed very nice. This does not seem luxurious. Well, for someone to write a play about your life, you want to dress up for it, Mary.
It's just so funny that Mary is the one going into this who's like the most like, I don't want to do this. I don't like any of this. This is terrible. But then when the play starts, she's the one smiling the entire time. She's the one who's acting like she's seeing like her child's play in school. She's just smiling. Everyone's like crying and like wiping tears away and covering the shock on their faces. And she's just sitting there smiling like, this is a good play.
Yeah, because really everyone else gets dissed except for Mary. You know, she loves that. It's like, that's why she's been so pleasant this whole season, because no one's come for Mary, you know. So Whitney's like, well, what would be your biggest fear to happen tonight? And Mary's like, I don't have fear. And she goes, mine would be for the person playing me to have bad hair.
So Heather's like, well, after talking to Stella and giving her a shady description of all my friends, I'm pretty sure this play is going to be a Greek tragedy.
Like, oh God. Yeah. Okay.
It's a good thing the season's wrapping up, because she's running out of fuel over there.
So, Angie is like, I'm going to give you each. These are called manilas. Okay. They're folders that you put papers in, but put them on your head instead. But they're like scarves and stuff to put on your head. And they all have different colors indicating their character. And Heather's like, mine is slightly small for my giant head, so I'm going to Winnie the Pooh it.
No, doesn't work that way. So they all put these things on. And now the play begins. So Stella herself is in the play. No one told me that she was an actor writer. Hello, Stella. How she got her groove back, indeed. So she walks out with the troupe, and it's basically the women in flowy dresses, and they do have some sort of like scarf that's like color coordinated to the women in the audience. And this lady comes out, and she's narrating. So she's this lady who looks sort of like a Piper from White Lotus. She's like, behold the daughters, eight born of one house, each born beautiful, brilliant, brutal in her own right. They call themselves the Sisters of Salt. the world saw elegance. I'm like, maybe we'll the world saw grace.
What the world did not see was the war. It began like so many battles did. Undercooked pasta at an extremely overpriced restaurant with something whispered.
It began like so many wars with someone offering a machine-made cappuccino.
Someone said something. Maybe it was someone. Maybe it was everyone. But something was said.
It's like, I don't know. I'm going to need some more work on this play. I don't know where y'all found this, Stella, but this is a little on the nose, okay? Can we make it more like, can we get Andrew Lloyd Webber in here? I mean, I want to see them like crawling around, singing like songs and stuff.
I'm concerned about this act one break. It just feels a little unsteady. Like, I don't know. We need to really just, like, the stakes are just not high enough for me. It needs to be more grounded.
I need more in the first 20 pages.
We need some character development. The inciting incident is just really not strong enough, okay? We need to be really clear about what started this war, okay? From the top.
But gossip in this family grows like mold. Lisa, one of the eldest.
And then it cuts to Whitney. It cuts to Whitney going, ha, 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 ha.
He was called the eldest.
She summoned them to a family supper. She offered them a challenge dressed as peace. I want us to go around the table one by one and reveal one honest thing about the sister next to you. No interruptions, no lies, real, without masks. Heather, the deflector, laughs loudly, mocking the plan. Mary rises and turns to address her sister, Heather. Heather, you're a joke wrapped in mascara. I'm like, wow, I really feel like I'm transformed to ancient Greece with that mascara line. That was really great.
I wish they had just used real lines like,
Heather, why would you wear that necklace? This does not work at all for you. Heather, you are inbred.
Heather, yes. What did you say about me on TikTok? I don't know. They must have had it in ancient Greece. I'm just trying to be honest with the source.
You act like nothing touches you, but everything does. And you laugh because crying would make you real. You hide behind your humor like it is armor, laughing loud enough to drown out the things you say.
And Heather's like,
she's like, that's hilarious. So we see that it was Mary who basically told Stella, like, yeah, she doesn't communicate her real feelings. Okay. And so now Stella's like, but behind every joke is a shadow, a demon you're too scared to say out loud. And the demon's name is Vecna. Sorry, I just watched the finale. It was really good. Really good. Really good. So then we see a flashback to this, like, Heather being her walls are up. And she's talking about, like when they ask her about, like, did she go on a date? When was the last time she went on a date? She's like, what? Ha, 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 ha. What dating? So she's a deflector because she doesn't want to talk about her personal life.
Yeah. And then Heather turns to face her sister, Bronwyn. Bronwyn, you're not two-faced. You are no-faced.
I feel like that's a compliment on the Real Housewives. Oh, my God.
Aren't we all going there? Gretchen Rossi would have taken that as a compliment.
I know. That's what everyone's aiming for, that. Like, yes, I Botoxed my face off my face.
Bronwyn. Oh, and Lisa is saying to Stella in the flashback, Bronwyn, she has like one face she lets everyone see, and the other one she hides.
You want to be trusted, but you treat loyalty like a party favor. Cheap and easy to toss. Easier than a Whitney to toss.
What parties has Stella been going to? She's like, honestly, that was more of a criticism to my friend Andromedes. She really gets bad party favors. Just clearly from 99 cents store. Like, why?
I went to a New Year's party at my friend Michael's house, and he gave us like the little blowy things for New Year's where you're like, New Year's, and a little thing unfurls, you know, you blow into it. And I picked it up to blow into it. It was chewed on. And I was like, okay, maybe this is like a fluke. So I picked up another one. It was also chewed on. I said, we're starting the year on pre-chewed blowy things? What is this? What kind of party is this?
Turns out you're just picking up dog bones. You just didn't realize. You're like, whoa, those mushrooms. By the way, I have to say, as long as we're talking about sisters, I just got the loveliest email. Ronnie and I are figuring out accounts, et cetera, as we set up with Acast. And I just got an email that said, Ben Mandelker, you have been added to Ronnie Karam. Isn't that so lovely? I'm added to you, Ronnie.
You were added to me a long time ago, Ben.
I'm telling Stella about this. I've been added to Ronnie Karam.
Oh, I just got one. Hold on. Ronnie, you just gained 170 pounds. God damn it.
Thank you. Thank you for taking 30 pounds off of me.
I'm a whole other person now. Okay, so she's still talking about Bronwyn. You collect secrets like trinkets, trading them between sisters under the guise of concern, but always leaving damage in her wake. Bronwyn, it turns to Mary, who's still loving this. She's cracking up.
Mary's like, this is like the heartwarming play of the year. She's like seeing the sisters Rosenzweig over there.
So, oh yeah, that was a real heartwarming one. Wasn't that a really depressing show?
Probably. I saw it in eighth grade. My parents took me to it, and I was like, Michael Lerner, you are hilarious. So then Bronwyn turns to her sister Lisa. Lisa, you are worth like a shield. You carry yourself like a queen among servants. You know, she's like, thank you. Thank you. Finally, a good moment. And then Stella's like,
finally, somebody sees me in this group.
It's so good to get the hero edit. Stella's like, speaking to our sisters, not as equals, but as omen forever beneath your marble pedestal. Thank you. I did just get that marble in the living room. It took a while, but we got it. It looks great. Thank you so much.
And of course, this shit talker was Heather. So a lot of these are Heather, right? Let me see. I'm looking back here.
I mean, I assume that they all talk shit about everyone and they just gave each sister some sort of.
Yeah, this was Heather being like, she thinks she's elite, like she's better and cooler and richer than us. I mean, so then we go to Stella saying, if you only you were capable of apology, able to say I was wrong. But that would be being lesser, and humility is the only thing you can never afford. Wait a minute. Is that like a new brand?
Oh, my God.
Where do I even get that? I can afford it.
Let me call Henry. Get something by humility, okay? Tell someone. I want to be on the list for humility. Thank you.
Lisa turns to her sister, Angie. Angie, daggers lie beneath your tongue. Actually, it is a piece of plate.
Really, really rough situation with that tray. So we see that Bronwyn said that, like, when Angie loves you, she loves you, but when she doesn't, she doesn't. So voice, sharp, slicing. And then we see a flashback to Angie being like, you look like you've been in a wind tunnel. So Stella goes, so foolish, in your thirst to be the best, a.k.a. center snowflake, let's be honest, that you're left alone with nothing but the echo of the damage you caused. Angie turns to her sister, Brittany, when you speak, your words sound like childish noise. It's like cut to Brittany being like,
it just goes to Mary cracking up. Oh, this is so funny. It was so fucking good that's the one thing they had to tell Brittany. Brittany just looks like, what the hell? And everybody else is kind of like,
you are loved.
You cling to attention of men like your lifeline, so consumed by a man's attention that you barely notice your children fading quietly into the background. Brittany's checking her text, like,
oh my God, he still hasn't texted me.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
That's actually like the harshest read of this play. And, but you know, she was like, God, I love men though. Isn't that great? So then we go, Stella's like, Brittany turns to her sister, Mary. Mary, you speak with a blade sharpened by a truth. And we see.
See, Mary gets off so easy. Like, that's the nicest thing.
She got a repeat of Angie's. Yeah.
Like, wow, you tell the truth a lot. Damn it. And Brittany's the only person to talk shit about Mary, at least in the flashback. She said, yeah, like, I really want to love her, but like, I feel very judged. And your words often sting despite your conviction. And we see clips of Mary through the season being like, you're not a good friend. Go jump in the ocean. I think you're boring. I think you're boring, Meredith.
You must learn that even in the righteous must bend. For without forgiveness, your conviction becomes a cage. Mary turns to her sister, Whitney. I'm like, can we move ahead? Can we move this like second night? This is going a little long here. Whitney, we feel compelled to dismiss you as shallow, a flirt, a body without a mind.
It's the best part. It's the best part. Lisa turning to Stella and going, Whitney, putana. Yeah, she's a putana, a loose woman.
Perhaps you speak wisdom in passing, but no one listens long enough to hear you. If you want to be more than decoration at their table, shitty decoration, I'd like to add. Am I right, ladies? Come on now. You must speak up. Whitney returns to Meredith. Meredith, you hide behind your semantics, twisting language to dodge blame.
Well, no, I don't twist language. I speak language, and unless you get that right, Stella, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to watch any more of this play.
I may not dodge blame, but I occasionally duck blame or move to the side of blame, and I will not be accused of dodging.
I will not be accused of doing a body movement that I simply didn't do, and if you want to say it, that's fine, but I will not engage with this play any further, Stella.
And then if we see Whitney talking shit about her, saying,
she plays the victim, a martyr.
Back to present. Arguing with you is like shouting into a maze. You drift between brilliance and confusion, and your behavior is unpredictable. How many beans do you need in one salad?
Meredith. I thought shouting into a maze was actually a pretty good line. I was like, okay, Stella, you're doing okay.
So well, Meredith, if I am shouting, I'm saying, don't go into the maze. You're going to get lost.
Meredith looks down away from the maze because who wants to go in there? Am I right, ladies? High five. No? Okay. I'll tell you who wants to go in the maze. Hercules, right? Am I right? Is anyone up on their Hercules stories and mazes? No? Okay. And for the first time, the words fail her. The sister sat. Everyone wore guilt in their eyes. They raised their glasses, swallowing the truth like poison. Moments later, glasses drop and hands tremble. I was like, wait, so they just basically talk shit to each other and all die? Come on, Stella.
They
all die.
they talk shit to each other and commit mass suicide. I mean,
yeah.
Great.
I mean, we could do better. She made it sound like there would be like a war. I was like, this will be cool. Like, there'll be a war, the War of the Seven Sisters or whatever. But no, they just all fall on the ground.
Yeah, they drank the Kool-Aid. So they're dead. And she's like, and now, for the first time ever, the house was quiet. And then I started laughing. That shit's funny. Stripped of rivalry, stripped of noise, stripped of bobbleheads, stripped of inbred faces. The only voices that ever knew them. And as the candlelight flickered over the stricken faces, the truth was revealed. You're no one without. Well, we have lost one sister. She fell into a maze.
I told you not to go into the maze.
And they're like, okay. Thank you for this play. So the women all leave. And Brittany goes, well, that was quite the tragedy. So Heather goes, I mean, they nailed it. We think we're so good at it, like projecting this image. But like, if we can't be vulnerable and real with each other, we're wasting our friendships. But did you feel like your sisters can help you make you who you are? Because that's what I took from it. Your sisters help make you who you were. And without them, you have nothing.
I did love that Heather says, you can't even be vulnerable and real with each other. We're wasting our friendships. When in the first half of this episode, she's like, can you believe that Lisa Barlow asked us to be more vulnerable?
I know.
So Meredith is true. Like, well, of course, you can't have anything in life without the people around you who you love. There's nothing else. That's what life is.
You can't slice a lemon with one hand. Am I right, everyone?
It's like, sort of can.
Well, it takes a village to slice a lemon. Am I right? I mean, that's a raise. You don't go in the maze. Go to the lemon tree.
All right, Meredith. I think she's on the pills again.
And Brittany says, does that mean that you love us, Meredith? She goes,
did I say? Maybe we should just give up the game and be real with each other. This is the portion of the season finale where Heather gets drunk and belligerent and starts bullying people. Let's get buckle up, everybody.
So
my monologue starts right now. Brahma's like, hi, I'm going to do the monologue this year. Okay. I was horrified by what I saw. Mm-hmm. I sat here with tears pouring down my face,
watching that. Well, enough about the first time you saw Todd naked. I'm in a great mood now.
No, not just for myself, but for all of us, because I saw a lot of truth in how they portrayed me. And I know that came from your truths about how you portray me. And I also felt like I have a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of work to do.
I'm
accomplished. I mean, I have work to do. I'm not, mm-hmm. not like actual work.
I'm accomplished.
I'm accomplished.
I've done a lot. I've done a lot. Okay. I've done a lot. Mm-hmm. But I will say, you know what? The actresses do not have a lot of work to do. Mm-mm. There were two actresses with my Bob. Two of them.
I noticed that. At first, I thought they were the actresses that were given wigs to match their hairstyles because I saw the bob, and then I realized they just were naturally bobbed.
Yeah. But I have a deep issue in not feeling like people are loyal to me, and a big part of what that is probably because I'm not loyal to other people, or I don't know how to be. And I was like, well, thank you. But also, good for you for a little self-awareness.
Yeah.
And she says that, you know, kind of what you said earlier, that her past is a list of people who have let her down. And that's why she wants loyalty so bad, but she doesn't know what it is. And when she had Gwen, she was basically, you know, dissed by her parents, and they put their shame and embarrassment ahead of how they cared about her. And even Todd, who I love and choose to be with and am working things out with, if I'm being really honest, he has been disloyal to me as well. So worst thing, he was being disloyal while I was dressed as a blow up rhinoceros at the Southwest Airlines terminal. So that really hurt.
Yeah, it's also funny because this show has really been about loyalty for its entire run. It's always been discussions about I was ride or die for you. I was where you weren't ride or die for me. I was loyal to you. I'm not loyal to you. It's like they are really hung up on it here in a way that it's almost like they should just give up. Their lives would be so much easier if they stopped hyper-focusing on who's loyal to whom. Old school New York didn't worry about that. They just fought. And they fought, and then they'd get drunk afterwards. And they focus so much on who's loyal to whom that they're just going to drive themselves batty. Because the reality is they're not loyal to anyone. And that's in the context of this show, I think that's fine. It's just like, just do you and like enjoy yourself.
Yeah. So Bronwyn's like, well, I was heartbroken by what was said about me, but I was also heartbroken about what was said about you guys. I mean, you guys should have felt bad too, because that was cutting to each of us. And Lisa's like, yeah, when I first saw Lisa come out, I was like, oh my God, like that's not even brand name what she's wearing. Like, who even knows where that purse came from? I know.
I was so sad at how she looked. It was terrible, you know, but I do hide behind my things. Ah, you know, I hide behind my Chanel buckle that I put onto my dresses. I hide behind my new bag from Humility. I hide behind my Hermes. I hide behind really all the nice cars I have. I mean, I could go on, and I will go on because I have a lot of things. I have so many things, you guys. It's like amazing. And then Angie's like your watch and your rings, or at least most of your rings, because one is missing. Yeah, because for me, I think it's like a sign of accomplishment. And for me, it's like a reward for me for like working like really hard and like setting up high tops and being in the same room as Blake Lively. And like I have to like get a ring to commemorate that, because like I have to prove myself, because I just have like a lot of pressure growing up, you know, from my little sisters. So, you know, like I put a lot on my plate. Ah, like even with John, I think it's a lot from him. And there's a lot of expectations from him because of like who I am. I have like a lot to prove to myself. Do I have to say prove to myself another time, or do you guys get the picture here? Right. I cried. You guys are fine. Right. Okay.
And she said, you know, this was actually a nice moment from Lisa, because she's crying and she's saying, you know, she's a braggart because she's basically insecure. Like she's disappointed in herself for feeling like she's not doing good enough. And so she's disappointed in herself. And so she brags to like overcompensate or whatever. And so I thought that was really nice. So we've got two in a row that were actually really nice. Bronwyn's making me crazy today, but I thought hers was really good. And I think Lisa's is really good too.
I thought Bronwyn's was really good. And also, by the way, we didn't mention, I felt like she said something that was like directed right at you. She was like, you know what? I'm a big girl. This is all on me. I'm an adult. I got to figure it out. Which I felt like she wasn't like blaming others. Really. She was just saying like, I have to figure it out. It was two really good monologues in a row that were emotional. And at this moment, I thought, well, you know, the Greek play thing was kind of ridiculous, but it's actually getting them to like a really good place. Like they're having some good healing right now. And then we have a nice moment. Well, Heather's like, I am your friend, but you don't always ask me to help you because you're always okay. I'm like, well, to be fair, the last time on that yacht, you were basically telling everyone that Lisa leaks everything to the blogs. So I don't know about the friend part.
Yeah.
But, they're in a nice place. It's a nice place.
I haven't
place
seen
right
a lot
now.
Of I'm your friend and I love you. So she keeps saying that. She's like Bronwyn yeah. in that way. Like, I've been such a good friend to you. When? You've been coming for her this whole season. But Lisa's
but it's
like,
still
yeah,
a nice moment. And they're being very vulnerable with
it
each
was.
Other.
In and, this and moment, it's nice until they all renege on this in the next 5 minutes.
Heather
but for right now,
actually,
it's nice.
Specifically, it's Heather who actually ruins this entire really nice moment for the women.
Yeah. So Heather's like, but yeah. So Lisa says, well, I need my friends. I need all of you. You know, like, Angie, me and you have this natural craziness. But like, even if we're mad at each other, like, we have deep love. And she goes, like, I love you. And it's taken a minute to say, like, I love you and get out of the dark spot with you. And our friendship went away. And I want our friendship back. Just like I gave you your wolf back. your man wolf. Your fresh wolf back.
Your dusty wolf.
I would
wolf.
Like to take your dusty wolf. Well, I have high regard for you. And I like having a friendship with you.
This is like a rough year. And I have not been here for you. And I am here for you now. And if I ever take that mask off and I'm not being who I am, I want you guys to tell me and then I will yell at you and then probably not listen. So Meredith goes, well, it's interesting because there are certain parallels hiding beyond belongings, hiding beyond words. You know, I was trained to use words and carefully, cautiously, they hold meaning. Even if some people here don't know what the words mean, I'm pointing at this dum-dum over here. Cut to Whitney be like, huh? Yeah, but they can bring a lot of joy and they can bring a lot of harm. You know what words bring me joy? Happy Mother's Day! I wish I'd heard those words. And I'm very sensitive and I'm very easily hurt. And I don't like being told that I'm something that I'm not or that I did something that I didn't. It hurts me and I'm afraid of betrayal. And that's really what it boils down to. And I've been betrayed so many times by a lot of people and I'm afraid of letting people in. I'm afraid. And I'll be totally honest, I'm afraid. I'm afraid right now. So she's crying. It's a nice moment. And Angie.
Heather rolls her eyes. By the way.
Exactly.
She's like crying. Angie, she's like sobbing and Heather just rolls her eyes.
and because, you know, Heather's saying, oh, okay, this is bullshit. But like, honestly, here's what I think. If you think that Meredith is being bullshit and she's using this moment to like to defend herself against accusations, I say feel that privately and wait for another moment to prosecute it. Like, this is not the moment. This is the moment where you are all sharing. Cause I do think that like what Meredith is saying is true. It doesn't take away from what she's saying is true. And Angie, even Angie, who is really not very close with Meredith, is like, you're surrounded by a lot of beautiful people and a lot of feta cheese. And maybe if you let them in, including the cheese, it's not your fault if it doesn't go well, it's their fault. So that we're having this nice moment and here comes Heather to destroy it all, to turn it into just another housewives fight, basically.
Yeah, she's like, well, so, like, Meredith is a powerhouse. She's not this docile mouth that's just been victimized by all of us. I mean, she's making power moves, you know, which, I mean, surprise even me. I mean, like, the big giant thing is what just happened. I mean, this whole day, that just kind of hijacked the whole day. I mean, this thing with you and Bronwyn, like, you kiki with her at 2. Shut up.
I was like,
you're such a fucking asshole. You're such an asshole. This isn't about you. This isn't about you. And of course, now we get to avoid talking about what a dick Heather is and what a dick Whitney is, because now we're going to turn this into a Meredith thing, which is a typical Heather move. You know, she doesn't have to talk about herself. God.
I was really disappointed by this. I knew it was going to happen, but I was also just like, what a brat. Like, why are you doing this? This is actually like a genuinely nice moment. I was excited actually to hear them go down the line because honestly, a lot of the season has been at level 12. Like every time they've had a group thing, they wind up kind of screaming at each other at like a really high moment. And I was actually, I feel like the season has actually been strongest when they've had quieter, more personal moments, believe it or not. Like, I think we all, like the scene with Bronwyn and Whitney sharing about their marriages at that restaurant, like it stood out so brightly because it wasn't kind of cartoony fighting. And the cartoony fighting is funny. Don't get me wrong. It's entertaining. I'm enjoying all of it. But like this was like a real moment. And it's nice to also get a little bit of like that pressure release that comes like after all the fighting and the feuding and the tension, you get like the, you release some of the pressure and have moments of bonding. And Heather just comes in determined to make a season finale scene instead of just like listening and just like, and you can privately say, well, I think that Meredith is kind of full of it, but I'm choosing to believe my friend right now and listening to her being vulnerable. And she just doesn't do it.
Yeah, she's a dick. So Meredith is like, well, this is why I don't open up. Because no, this is the third time that you've gotten information from her and then flipped it. Heather, you are the worst at getting information from people and flipping it. Your whole relationship with Bronwyn started with you going, oh, really? That's not what you said about Whitney at lunch. You know, like, shut up. And Meredith is like, well, that had nothing to do with anyone except her. She's like, well, that was weird, too. That was weird. She's like, oh, God. Oh, my God.
I'm not going to sit here and go back and forth and argue over it. But it did seem like you wanted to know about our lunch.
So here comes Whitney chiming in.
Like, when I heard the stories from both sides, it seemed like you just wanted to happen because it's the one thing you didn't know about. Well, this is why I don't open up. And I try, and I just got berated. So I'll stop talking. If you need me, I'm going to be walking into the maze. See you never.
She's saying, what do you want? She's not berating you, Meredith. She's saying, what do you want to know about the lunch? And Whitney's like, yeah, that's what we're asking. What do you want to know about the lunch? Because we've been planning to tell you that we think you're an alcoholic, which we talked about at the lunch, and we can't say it unless you ask what happened at the lunch. I don't care.
It's too much.
She's like, well, you clearly care, Meredith. Well, I do feel like that I'm yelled at and screamed at every time I try to open up, just like right now, and it just happened
That's
again.
Not true. That is not true at all.
Look at what just happened just two days after Mother's Day.
That's not true. If we can't be honest, why are we all here?
Well, I'm going to the restroom. That's some honesty for you. I'm taking a deuce.
So Meredith walks away, and Mary's like, what are we doing? Why are we here if we're not friends? Why are we here if we don't even get each other? I mean, is this how you feel about me? Is this? And Lisa's like, wait, Mary, what part hurt you? I thought you were laughing. I was laughing. It was a hilarious play. But you said I was hard. I'm hiding behind some stupid face. I don't hide behind a mask. I don't live my life like that. Lisa, you are self-absorbed. What are we doing? Just throwing that right in there. Hey, I'm not lying, but you
are grown adults. Like, we're mothers, we're wives, we're spiraling. What do we can't even tell Meredith we feel like something's wrong. You guys have told Meredith you feel like something's wrong 30 times. What are you talking about? I love that they act like they haven't had this conversation with Meredith when they've had it with Meredith for the past 10 episodes. It's crazy.
Heather's like, we love her and we don't want to hurt her. I'm like, you're actively hurting her. Did she not just run off crying? So Mary's like, well,
she runs
off
crying and you're drunkenly screaming at her. She walks away. Okay, Heather.
Like, don't sit here and kiki around her. Somebody tell the girl we're worried about her. Tell her we care. Something's wrong. So Meredith comes back. She's like, I have one question. Was that toilet paper two-ply before? Because I think they changed the roll.
Who is expected to wipe with popsicle sticks? What kind of country is this? Okay, what is the goal? What is that? And Mary's like, the goal is we're concerned about you. We feel like you're spiraling and we're all worried and we're all concerned. And you want to know what we talked about at lunch? That's what we talked about. Okay. They think it. I think it. I'm concerned. I hope you're okay. And I don't think you're okay. Well, I am going to take the lipstick out of my purse and put it back in so that you will know I am okay.
And now comes the part where I go from being very angry at you all to being like, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. Thank you, Mary. I am okay. My behavior is fine. I appreciate the concern and everything is fine. As you can see, I am perfectly fine and perfectly calm. Everything is okay. But your friends are telling you that. We all think it. And I think I've heard enough. And I've heard the whole story. So I will relieve you of my presence. Goodbye.
Meredith, sit down and talk to the group. And she's like, what is there to talk about? For you to tell me that I'm not okay when I am okay?
But we're concerned about you. You're committed to being angry and you're committed to being sad.
Well, I'm not angry. I am sad sometimes, and I'm very sensitive, and I take a lot of things to heart. And I wear a lot on my sleeve, which is why I'm constantly wearing sleeves. Now, there are things that are important to me in my life. There are goals, and I want to leave this world a better place than when I came into it. So I carry a lot of weight in my shoulder pads, and that is why I'm sad sometimes. But I'm fine. And for you to all question me and say I'm not okay because my, I am okay. And Mary's like, but you're not okay. You're not okay. Okay. What do you guys want her to do? Like, they need some confession from Meredith. Like, I'm an alcoholic. They need something from Meredith or they're just not going to let it go. I mean, what do you need from the woman?
I'm wearing an emotional blazer with my heart on my sleeve and the weight in the shoulder pads. And I even have a little bit of vial of tears in the front pocket. And that's all. That's all you're going to get from me. But wait, can I get real with you?
Oh, Meredith, God.
Your behavior. Stay with me. Stay
oh,
with
no.
Me.
And then she grabs her by the face. Get your fucking hands off people, Whitney. How does Whitney get away with putting her hands on people constantly? She's done it multiple times just in this episode. And now she's grabbing Meredith's face. Like, she needs to get pushed, at the very least, off a balcony.
How does she get away putting her hands on people? You know what? Someone should push her.
Yeah. If you put your hands on someone else, that gives them the right to push you backwards. She needs to get pushed away and told, don't put your fucking hands on me. Who does
Stay
that?
With me.
I feel like she is like, all these years of watching ER, I finally get to put it to use. Stay with me. Don't
stay,
go to the
Meredith,
light.
Stay. Stay.
We're losing her. We're losing her. Get me 10 cc's of something that can hold CCs in it. Please, I feel bad that I called you the names I did. And there's a reason I said pill popper, alcoholism. That's because when I see people go through emotional shifts like that, my only experience is my dad and my family. That's from my lived experience. And I'm just telling you what I'm witnessing as your friend. Your emotions and your behavior is like this right now. That's what I'm saying.
Like, you're basically doing a long-winded way of saying, because I've seen it in my family, I'm seeing it in you, pill popper, alcoholic. You're not really, you're just changing the words around, but you're saying the same thing.
So, well, I want to say, well, you know, we don't know what's going on in your life, but, you know, there are things going on in my marriage and they're not great. And so I don't know if that's going on with you, but I mean, if it is, you know, things aren't great in my marriage. So maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say there's something wrong with your marriage.
There is nothing wrong with my marriage.
Well, I mean, that's not for me to say. I don't know, but it's for her to say. And she's saying that there's nothing wrong. What are you arguing about?
If you're covering up for a murder, I'm not saying that you did, but I have seen many shows where people have murdered people and then they go in a shame spiral and it's very nerve-wracking for them. So if you're covering up for a murder, if that's what you've done, that you, I'm not saying that you have, but that's fine too. It's like, where did murder come in from this? Well, I mean, Meredith, if you've burned down a house, that's, you know, I'm not saying you burned down a house, but like, you know, arsonists do often act in a very impulsive ways.
What? I'm not an arsonist either.
Well, listen, I'm not saying that I've ever been abducted as a child, but if you're abducting children, it's not for me to say that you're not abducted. I'm not abducting children. Well, I'm just saying Meredith, Todd, and I were having dinner in New York and I saw Seth. Okay. And I didn't say anything to anybody else because I didn't know who Seth. I didn't know who Seth was with. So that's it. You are so fucking low. And to just have this whole thing of like, oh, I just want to be trustworthy and I just can't be trustworthy because I'm traumatized with my wife. And then to be like, yeah, your husband's cheating on you.
But I'm not even going to say he's cheating on you.
What a dick. And Lisa's like, you just made it seem like Seth was with somebody. Nope. I don't know who he was with. I don't know. She brought him breadsticks. I can tell you that much. And listen, I bring breadsticks to my husband. I refill his water when he needs it. That's all I'm saying.
And then the next day I went out, I saw him again. And this time he was with someone else and it was a young boy. I'm sorry. And he said, I want to be your mother. It was weird for all of us. And he said something about wanting to be pansexual.
He was shooting a scene for Next Gen New York City. Ding dong. Oh.
Okay. Well, you know, but my experience with my marriage is talked about and I put a wall up and I just wish you could talk about it. She's like, oh my God, fuck off. Fuck off. Bronwyn sucks.
I also Meredith feel like,
oh, that's just low.
If you're going to do it, like go all the way. Like don't say, I saw Seth with someone, but that's it. I don't know. I'm not saying it's anything. And then act like Meredith is crazy for getting mad at the implication. And then act like you're just stating facts. Like, just say it. Say it looked like he was cheating. But to then bring it up and then be like, all I'm saying is that I saw him with a woman. Why are you acting crazy right now? It's like, come on, Bronwyn. Like, commit to the messiness.
Yeah. So she's like, that is enough. Goodbye, guys. Bye. Thank you, Angie. Thank you, really, Meal. And so she walks away. And Lisa's like, are you fucking kidding me? What did you just allude to with Seth? What did you do? She goes, I'm not alluding to anything. I'm not alluding to anything. I'm just saying, you know, he was, I don't know. I don't know. There was a restaurant. Was he eating? I don't know. Does Seth have an eating disorder? Because he was at a restaurant. I didn't see me.
Lisa's like, you made it sound like he was with someone else. Am I crazy? And Meredith's like, he was. And she saw it. So Heather goes up to Meredith. And
she puts, like, down her wine for the first time in 3 hours and, like, goes with her wine teeth up to Meredith. She's like, are you going to for real shut me out, Meredith?
I'm leaving, Heather. I am leaving. She's like, no, you're not. Brahma's like, look, I don't get to say if he was with someone on a date or if it was a work person. I'm not going to do that. What I am saying to you is that when my marriage is questioned, it makes me put a wall up. And I'm worried that her marriage is being questioned, for instance, by, I don't know, accusations that her husband is at restaurants with people who may or may not be his mistress. She's putting up a wall.
Oh, what an asshole. And Lisa's like, this is why she's closed off. Okay, this is why. And Brahma's like, oh, God, Lisa. So then Heather is still over there, like, grabbing Meredith. And she's like, I'm a happy woman in a happy marriage with a lipstick that keeps coming in and out of my purse. And I have a wonderful family. And why am I listening to this? My physical health is fine. My mental health is fine. Heather is like, come on. And she's like, yeah, my physical health is fine. My mental health is fine. I don't drink very much. I mean, I don't use drugs. And my husband is loyal to me. And I'm loyal to my husband. And I don't know what your problems are, but don't create them for me because I have a really good life.
So now Meredith is heading off. So now Whitney's trying to follow her, and Meredith is like, tells us, I actually drink less than most of the women. I don't do drugs and I'm really tired of it. And let me start counting their drinks and the multitude of pills in Brittany's pill bottle and the pills I've seen Heather and Whitney take. So stop with your smear campaign or I will start telling the truth.
So Whitney goes over there to try her hand, literal hands on you, at Meredith. And she's like, I need you to go away, Lisa. This is between Meredith and I. She's like, no, you're not safe. Yeah, and you're safe? She goes, yeah, for her. You should go back. Go back. Trees hate you. Trees hate you.
Meredith, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you? And Lisa's like, oh, quote unquote, I'm so sorry that I'm insinuating that you have all these problems. Oh, wow. Mary's like, look, she's like, you're a good friend to her, Bronwyn. You were a good friend to her. And you don't have
great friend.
And you do have great loyalty. Look how you stand by Todd.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny.
She left Todd. So Bronwyn's like, there was a time, which, by the way, probably good for her. Bronwyn's like, there was a time on this trip where I was worried about Meredith. I felt like something was really hard for her. But you know what? I realized that looking perfect and taking no accountability is more important than her than being friends with any of us. So you know what? Any friendship has to be a two-way street. And if Meredith can't tell us what's going on, if she can't say when she's wrong, if she can't lean on us for support, then she should walk away. Unseal your bullshit. Unseal your bullshit, mister. I'm open and talk about everything. Who was Todd fucking? Come on.
But also, fucking like, liar. When she says friendship has to be a two-way street, and if Meredith can't tell us what's going on, if she can't say what's wrong, I mean, she literally called you to her room and was like, what'd you guys talk about? Like, she called you to the room to talk to you about stuff.
And then you turned it against her 5 seconds later.
Asshole. I mean, again, the implication is really like, okay, she's having issues with her in her marriage, and she's now going harder on either drugs or pills or whatever. That's what they're really saying here. It's not
right. Right. She's an alcoholic and a drug addict because Seth is cheating on her all over New York.
Right. So Meredith is like, I've called the car service. And Lisa's like, this is crazy. I'm your friend and I love you. And I'm sorry that this is so gross. Well, this is so toxic. It's just not me. I'll tell you that. So Heather goes, you know what? Just go. We can hear you. We're toxic assholes. We get it. It's like, well, you are.
Yeah. I'm just screaming. Heather just screaming across the courtyard. You know what? drunk. And Lisa's like, oh, great. You know what? I didn't say asshole, Heather. She said toxic behavior. She goes, oh, well, if you think that, then walk the fuck away. Yeah, she was trying to, and you went over there and manhandled her to try and keep her here. She's like, you don't get to dictate what everyone else does, like the judge and jury. You don't, Heather, okay? She goes, well, I'm asking you, if you feel that, then walk away. And if you don't, then come back and solve this, because those are the two options that you have. This is my show. Receipts, timeline, proof, everything. I have $3.
Honestly, the point is, well, there was a vulnerable moment and there was like a quiet moment where you probably could have solved things, but instead you decided to make it into just a housewives fight. That's the truth of it. So then Lisa's like, what does she solve? Sorry, like, you think I'm actually doing this? And Heather's like, no, it's you too, LB. You're with her, babe. It's like, yeah, I am with her. No, you're not just an advocate right now. You chose her. You drew a line in the sand. Call an Uber, come back. Those are the two options. You two versus the world. So this is basically, Heather has been trying to separate from Lisa Barlow all season, but she wants to pin it on Lisa. That's what she's been trying to do all season long, is not be friends with her, but all somehow make it Lisa's fault that they're not friends, not Heather's fault. So here she is again being like, if you walk away with Meredith, you've drawn a line in the sand, and now I know exactly where I stand with you. One of those moments.
She's also trying to get Heather and she's also trying to get Lisa and Meredith off the show. And this is very clearly Heather trying to be the boss of the show, which is ridiculous. And saying, like, you guys are walking off the show right now. You either stay here and do this with us, or you call an Uber and you get the fuck off this set.
Yeah.
She's
so
gross.
Now we get our final, our little cards at the end, which is Heather's been traveling and enjoying the empty nest. Her new mattress remains pristine, and she has loved having her daughters home for the holidays and was even happier when they left.
Lisa continues to talk to Trace, which convinced her that she's a good listener, despite what John says. She was sad to learn buffalo mozzarella comes from an actual buffalo and not New York.
Wild Rose Beauty is back in Whitney's possession, but not without causing trouble in her marriage. She still meets with Terrence, her intuitive consultant, who does not see any Cartier purchases in her future.
Let's see. Meredith's Caviar Lounge is opening and she's a DJ and her marriage is stronger than ever.
And Angie hasn't completed her Greek citizenship and, her fast food commercial was definitely not an attempt to one up Lisa.
Oh well, yeah. Good. Cause it was Arby's. And then Bronwyn is like, Bronwyn is officially an American citizen. She's waiting for her first jury duty summons, but has her hot dog outfit ready. Muzzy and Gwen are still living with Bronwyn, and her marriage is closed for discussion for now.
And then the final one is Mary's, which starts off in a somber note of, with prayers and tough love, Mary hopes Robert Jr. will find his way. Her church remains her safe space, and her dog remains one of her closest advisors. I was like, why are you throwing in this little dog thing? They're like, it's so serious. And like, and her dog remains one of her closest advisors. Wowie, wowie, wow.
And her cult how much expose documentary is on now on TLC. Like, just say it.
What are the odds that Brittany puts up an end of season card for herself on her own social media today? Well, I was left out. Like how she showed up in a bathing suit after she wasn't included in the Vanity Fair cover
Brittany photo. The one that they call the splasher now, ding ding ding, is doing great. Her daughter even texted her back one time.
Now she gets free steamers whenever she goes to Starbucks. So that was the end of the season, and we've got three raucous episodes coming up for the reunion. Looks pretty wild. Thanks everyone for being here. And what a way to kick off the new year, huh?
Yes. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with
Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K sirrah sirrah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
Happy are we, it's Allison with an I.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Talifson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.